sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, the horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
John.
How do you spell that?
G. I don't
know. Okay.
I think it's, you spell it, I have to actually look this up. J-O-H-N-D-F-L-O at Instagram and...
Reds. Makes sense.
That's it.
That was our way of getting our socials out.
I have to say at Skeleton Boys Pod.
Follow us. We do good stuff over there. Really good stuff.
We can talk to you, like, you know, just comment, message us, and then we'll stare at it on our phones and be like, this is a lot of pressure.
Yeah. No bullshit. I did get a little, I didn't know what to tell. Cause like, I think I put, we were reviewing The Stylist and the director who the name of the director's escaping my mind. And she liked our post and she's like, thanks for watching. You know what I mean? And she was really nice about it. And I was just, I didn't know if I should say something. Like, I'm really bad at social media. So like, should I be like, I didn't know what to say in that situation. So I just liked it back. So I don't know. What do I do? How do I do this? It's so awkward.
And if you're listening to this episode,
yeah, we'll get to movie stuff eventually. But we should,
if you want to reach out to us, director of The Stylist, because that's the way Rolando refers to you as.
I don't remember her name. She's working on something new. I saw that she's directing.
She is working on Black Mold. Oh, co-produced. Hold on. Directed? Let's see. No.
Co-produced.
Co-produced. Jill, I think she goes by, what, Six or something?
Let's see. Jill, yes.
Yeah, Jill Six, S-I-X-X.
Jill Six.
Gervergizian.
Yes. And?
KC, Missouri.
What? Okay, let me put it this way. What would you have said in that situation?
Cool. No, I probably, I don't know, just ask her if she had any desire to talk about her film a little more, but the movie's also going on 4 years old now.
Yeah, because I didn't know what to be like. I enjoyed it, great work. Like, she's not gonna give a shit about that, right? I mean,
oh, she might. I mean, would you care?
If somebody said we were doing good work, I would care. If anybody said anything, we're doing any good work. Yeah.
It's cause it's not like we're talking to like Jon Favreau, you know, we're talking more to like Kevin Smith. Like, you know, he'd probably be like, okay, yeah, I'll totally talk to you guys. That's my Kevin Smith. It was bad. Sorry. I apologize.
Oh, you know what? In retrospect, I could have been like, I really enjoyed the performances or something like that. Right. Like comment, like a compliment.
Yeah.
Is that the way to navigate that?
Hey, what a good direction to go with.
Or I look forward to watching. Thank you. I look forward to watching your next movie. Yeah, there you go. You know what? I'm going to go find that 6-month-old tweet. I'm going to go put that.
And hi, we're the Skeleton Boys. We're just as insecure as you are. If you want to keep giving us a listen and a like.
Yeah. Please be on our show. We're friends now.
We watch horror movies and bomb conversations with famous people, so you don't have to.
Yeah.
Have fun listening.
Speaking of bombs, and welcome to the show. This week, we will review Children of the Corn 2020. As always, Good. It's good. Jonathan Davis. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts. Then we'll go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we're going back to TV Corner. We are watching, doing something different. We're not picking a show to watch for the next month because we have spooky season is close by. So usually we devote our entire month of October to a series, which you're not going to reveal yet.
No, not yet. But also we, I know we're pretty adamant about making sure you guys don't know how we stuff our sausage. Even though we tell you how we sausage our stuffings every other week.
Yeah, like we do it, you know, gently around the casing.
To make sure the casing's edible as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's important. But instead, we are going to look at episodes deemed the scariest or the most notable in the particular series. So, for instance, today we're reviewing Netflix Haunted from season 2, episode 6, titled Born Cursed.
Born Cursed, which was my suggestion.
Thank you, John.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, you don't necessarily have to watch this.
So yeah, so you had brought it up for us to watch this episode, and looking at it, I was like, okay, cool. You said this had been around for like 3 seasons, and I was like, okay, well, this is just like a anthology TV series. I didn't know quite sure what I was getting into, but it's really a surprisingly docudrama ish with.
Okay, well, what are your overall first thoughts about it?
Okay. I thought
it was okay. I didn't care for it either. It's okay.
I thought it was for what it was okay. Yeah.
What was it missing though? There was one key ingredient that is not possible to have. But if they had Robert Stack introducing this whole thing,
yeah,
it would have been like, I get it. Because it feels very unsolved mysteries.
Unsolved mysteries, yes.
Like, unpolished, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's a better way to kind of explain what type of show it is. It's an unsolved mystery. It was missing like a host to kind of lead you into the narration. You know what I mean? It was missing that because it is kind of cool that it's the individuals who experienced the haunting themselves are being interviewed
and presenting the story. But I think that's kind of its downfall, too. Because it is not these people's fault that they are not performers or entertainers.
Yeah.
Because the story itself has got a lot of substance. Like, this is kind of good. It could be really good. It's just like, this guy is not a real storyteller. So I think I've given this guy a shout out before, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are very familiar with Mr. Ballin and his podcast and his YouTube channel. But that guy kind of does that. He kind of like takes these stories and then he tells him himself, and of course they're always interesting because he's a very interesting like performer.
Right. Yeah, I was kind of missing that part. Yeah, like somebody telling us an interesting ghost story.
Yeah, or just like, I don't know, being more charismatic about it, I guess, is what we're asking for. And on top of that, keeping just the audio of the person telling the story as you're watching these recreation images, which are kind of fun.
They're not passable. Helping. They're passable. They're, you know what I mean? They were very passable.
So I mean, it was like kind of fun. But on, you know, hearing this person's like voice, which I don't want to be mean, like kind of boring voice, like on top of all this imagery was like not helping. I was like,
Yeah, he was, I almost have this feeling that he kind of tells this story a lot the way they was being presented. Like he's gone out and to like, he's one of those guys that seems like he goes to colleges and high schools and like functions to gets paid to tell these stories. Because I did feel a sense of charisma from the way he told this particular story. So I don't know if it's something that he did often or this was like the only thing he's ever done. I don't know. I was very confused. I was confused about the presentation.
I feel like no matter who these, especially when it's like people that aren't performers, right? Because it is a craft that they practice all the time, performers. I mean, maybe he has told the story several times, but he probably also practiced the shit out of it before he recorded this, you know?
Right, yeah.
But I don't know. I think I also mentioned to you as soon as I started watching it, I was like, oh my God, I've tried to fucking watch this show dozens of times before, always forgetting that I had tried to watch it the time before and always being like, this isn't for me. So as I started watching, I was like, well, now I got to watch the whole thing now. I kept thinking like, ah, I can't believe I did this to Rolly. This is not good.
Well,
good thing the movie we're going to review is good.
It saved it. Yeah. No, actually, I thought this was pretty harmless. Like, I wasn't like particularly offended by it. I mean, I grew up watching these type of shows, like you mentioned, like Unsolved Mysteries. I was thinking of like Rescue 911. There's like all of these. I don't know. Like, what's that one with Fact or Fiction?
Oh, with what's his name from Star Trek?
Franks? Was it Jonathan Franks? Something like that.
Yes. Sorry. Yes. I know everybody's going to be mad at me, but like New Generation wasn't like really my jam.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked it. I did. I probably watched that, to be fair. I probably watched that way more than, you know, the original series.
But hot take, Next Gen, I think, is better than all the best. It's the best Star Trek TV series. That's hot, the hot take.
Voyager was better because it was so weird. It's like, what am I watching? Is this Star Trek? Or is this like... Yeah, I remember I had that one main dude who was like kind of a... He kind of looked like a... What was Worf? What kind of Klingon? Which, of course, everybody always had that fucking joke about the Dingleberries. But anyway... there's that dude, and it was like there was a whole story arc where that alien dude that was a big part of Voyager ended up betraying everybody or something like that.
Are you talking about Deep Space Nine?
No.
Deep Space Nine's I would argue it's maybe one and two. Voyager is the one with the, I thought, with the chick, the first where they're lost.
I'm 1,000,000% talking about Deep Space Nine.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. That one was kind of cool because it was...
I was going to say it was superior.
That was a little... That one was the cool premise, right? Because it's all set just like on that one, whatever, port or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah. And that... This is what we're trying to tell you right now is go ahead and watch Star Trek reruns instead of watching this. I mean, it's not... If you like it, you like it. I'm not going to, you know, shit on it. It's fine. It's just not for me. I don't know I can spend an entire season of random people telling their stories.
I can see why Netflix like wanted to make this show, because it's like cheap programming and it's the type of thing that you could just put on and just let it run in the background as you go about your day. It's exactly the perfect Netflix show.
It's also like, I mean, how much could they have paid these people realistically? You know, they're not like union actors or anything that you just pay whatever.
Yeah, it's true.
You just show
You're saying they didn't go to Mexico to film to film this.
No, what I'm saying is a hot take. It's a hot take because I'm sure people don't think about it or have heard anything, but that producers are some sketchy people and don't pay people their dues. I know. I'm probably the first person to say this ever on Earth. But.
Damn. Somebody had to say it. We should probably talk about do you want to talk about what it was about? The actual episode?
So we should also probably mention, though, beforehand, there is, so they do like kind of like recreation scenes, right? Mm-hmm. There is one segment of these recreation scenes that plays at the very beginning, and then they repeat the same thing later on, which I could be wrong, but I swear this guy never mentions this shit at all in his story, but they add this like sacrificial ritual sort of thing where... It's like very like, I know it did exist in Mexican culture, but it's not like everybody fucking did this. I don't want people to like get the wrong assumption. But like this pregnant woman is like laying on the ground and I don't think she's even being bound down, right? And it's like allegedly supposed to be his mother. And they like pop off a chicken's head and then dip the blood all over him. And then I guess that's supposed to be why he's being haunted by this this dude, this white guy that...
The broken neck
crawled out of the bottom of a building from this opening that I'm not sure. I guess it's just like a window, and scared him so badly that he felt like he was being haunted by this guy, is what I'm gathering.
Yes.
But he feels like he still sees this guy that was never there, question mark. But I feel
it's maybe passed on, spoiler, passed on to his kids. Yeah. Yeah, that kind of sums it up. The only thing I'll add is, didn't he have like a pentagram on the fake pregnant lady that they were pouring blood on?
The very, very fake belly, yeah.
She wasn't actually pregnant?
No.
No.
They couldn't afford that. But yeah, that's kind of what the story's about, right? You just keep seeing this like one dude.
He's forever cursed to see this one evil figure tied. You refer to him as the hanged man because he had a noose around his neck, who's like always smiling at him and haunting him. And then I feel like I've heard this story before. Isn't this like popular lore of other stuff?
I feel like it is. I mean, I have a similar experience. Should I divulge?
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. Do you have any fun ghost stories?
So, I mean, just like one that's kind of similar. I have a bunch of fun ghost stories. I think I've mentioned to you before over time.
Okay.
I mean, we have one collectively together, which I think would be a fun thing if people want to hear it. But out in the wild, if we ever do any sort of convention. But, I mean, I'm talking about the older lady that walked up the side staircase.
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah. We do.
We have a real ghost story.
You guys actually do have a really legit ghost story. That's true.
Which is funny because it wasn't even just like, it wasn't just me. It wasn't just one other person. It was, I think, three or four of us in three separate parts of a house seeing the same exact thing happen. And
yes.
We had no idea that we were all trying to be. Anyway, that's a different story.
I was there, but I wasn't present because I have, but when that, well, in the past, I have been arrested for trespassing. So that's why I didn't want to get arrested again. So.
Because the skeleton boys are wild.
I would have to do. Yeah.
I was going to say my story similar to this is I did grow up being slightly afraid of like dark hallways that ended with a room. Usually like there's a bathroom at the end of a hallway. The places I grew up, right? And I would always see like a figure that was clearly wearing like a, maybe like a long coat and a hat, but I couldn't really see much. It was just a dark figure. And then after a while, it didn't really bother me too much because I was just like a part of my life. And then finally when I got older and like puberty hit or whatever, I guess, I just grew out of seeing shit like that. I mean, that in particular. I got other stories. But I remember finally mentioning it to my mother at one point, or I don't know how it was brought up, but she started talking about how my older brother used to talk to some dude in the courtyard of these like sort of mini houses or apartment complex that had the same exact fucking description. And I was like, that is fucking wild. I did bring it up to my brother once. And he was like, I don't know what you're talking about. So I'm figuring it's something he just forgot about. Like, you know, it was just like a kid with an imaginary friend and just like didn't think about it anymore. But I saw the same exact fucking thing.
Yeah,
I thought
that
was really, really fun. But then, of course, I never saw it again. It was just like something.
Yeah, something that happened. Yeah. I don't have anything. I don't think I have anything like that. Like, vivid like that. Like, to like recall a story.
Yeah.
I did see an alien once. But it's not, this is not an alien podcast. So we cannot talk about it.
If you guys want an alien thing, go watch Platonic on Apple TV.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, so I won't relay the story. But I don't think so. I was terrified. I did scare myself a lot. But it was myself scaring myself. You know what I mean? Like when I was a kid, does that make sense? Like you're allowing yourself to like feel like there's things going on kind of deal.
Yeah,
so.
It's easier to be scared when you're young.
But then, yeah, like you said, I just kind of get over it.
And now that you're older, it's also just as easy to be scared.
So. I'm terrified of everything. I never want to ever leave the apartment. So yeah. but yeah, so that was Born Cursed. I don't know. Do you want to add anything to that? Or
no, I mean, if you guys want to hear more of our ghost stories, you can just thread at us or Instagram us and let us know. We'll tell them. We can tell more.
Yeah, it's Skeleton Boys Pod. We'll share it all. Okay. Let's move over to our main review of Children of the Corn 2020. Only because...
Which, don't be confused. This has nothing... This isn't like a super group of all the Korn members' children doing a concert. Yeah. It is actually a reboot of the original.
The reboot of Children of the Corn by Kurt Wimmer.
Should we start by saying, I think we agreed, you said it first, they were trying very, very hard.
They were trying. To make yes.
And a lot of young children actors trying very hard also.
On record as loving children actors. So this was excellent for me. But John, first, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Coming in at number 3 for Children of the Corn 2020, not 2023 release, like we thought. Pesticides make really corny product. Which I'm kind of wrong. I don't think the big reveal has any corn to it, to be honest. I think it's more of a green thing. Coming in at number 2 for 2020's Children of the Corn reboot, GMOs make adults physically inferior.
Sure.
You know, I gotta mention, the original Children of the Corn made way more sense when it came to stuff like that. And coming in at number 1 for Children of the Corn 2020, children don't got the life. It's another Corn the Band reference for y'all.
So we should probably. What's your, John, what's your relationship with the Children of the Corn franchise? Are you a fan?
Linda Hamilton.
Yes,
I did like the original one, mostly because my father was like super annoyed. He said it was like the scariest movie he'd ever seen. But by the time I finally watched it, even though I was still very, very young, I was like, this is nowhere near as scary as other movies I've seen.
Yeah.
But I was also a kid, so I didn't understand why children were scary to adults. Now I get it. I like that one. I mean, they get cornier the more they made them. Right?
Would it surprise you there are 11 entries to this franchise since the 1984 movie?
I think the last time I checked in on the franchise, I was like, there's 9 of them. So, I'm not going to watch 9 of these fucking movies. So I watched a super kind of like...
Super cut.
Like a super cut, but kind of like somebody explaining them as quickly as possible. And I was like, I'm not going to watch these. They look terrible.
I do want to point to some very good writing by Walter Chau. He reviewed all of the Children of the Corn movies. I'll throw the article on the show notes or whatever. It's called Amazing Grace. Let's see, what is it? The Children of the Corn Saga. Really good to read. He's an excellent writer. Excellent reviewer. Don't judge him just because he reviewed every Children of the Corn movie. He actually reviews everything. He's a very good writer. And Film Freak Central.
Somebody had to do it, right?
Somebody had to do it, yeah.
It was
him. Yeah. Same. Like, I think I remember the first movie being really popular in my house when I was a kid. Like, it was a big, big deal. And I think partly because Stephen King, my sister was a huge Stephen King fan. She read, like, every single book. I could think she had them all, too. That was always been her like thing or whatever, Children of the Corn. So,
okay,
And I remember just like the plot and there's always, these guys had cool names too, right? Like, was it Damien, Malachi? Yeah. It was like these weird religious, maybe that's probably why it was so popular in the valley where he's from.
That makes sense.
Because of that pseudo religion aspect to it that's involved with it. So
kind of like the what saves the day is the Lord or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the other thing we were talking about off air last time? The prophecy. Remember we were talking about that's like
we're trying to figure out why it was so popular.
Why it was so popular with it's a very valley where we're from movie that's wildly popular because I think it's because of its religious implications in it.
And also because in the RGV, we don't play any.
Yes. Yeah. Clearly. Okay. So I was actually, why did we pick this movie? So I was, I am actually enjoy Kurt Wimmer, the writer director of this movie. He did a movie that, I really like, which I don't think you're so high on, if I recall. Equilibrium.
No, I love that movie.
You love that movie. Okay. Yeah. And he invented Gunkata, right? Famously. He did. Nice performance by Christian Bale. I remember like freaking out when I first saw that movie. I was like, oh my God, this movie's fucking great.
He also was the person that wrote the screenplay for the Thomas Crown Affair and Sphere.
He is, if you go through his credits, yeah, he's a screenwriter primarily.
And then they get worse, to be honest. Like, yeah. The remake era, the bad remake era.
Just a lot of movies like The Recruit. What else? Damn.
Total Recall.
Yes, the reboot.
Point Break.
Point Break. Yeah.
He does do a couple of things where I'm like, I have like a guilty pleasure spot for like Upright Citizen. What's it called?
Law-abiding Citizen.
Law-abiding Citizen.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So all that said, I've always liked Stephen King. I've always liked Stephen King TV movies and movie features and stuff like that. I just saw him so much as a kid, so I've always, like, I grew up on them.
I'm not the biggest fan. I mean, there are, like, a handful that I loved, right?
The Sandlot, or what is it? Salem's Lot?
Salem's Lot, yeah.
Yeah. Going into Children of Corn 2020, I was surprised.
You know, this movie makes, because I didn't think this other movie was bad. I actually enjoyed it, but this movie makes... what was that? In the tall grass or whatever, another corn maze movie. Also Stephen King.
Yeah.
It was the short, what was it called?
Something like that. Stand in the Tall Grass, or it's on Netflix.
We're horror enthusiasts. We know all this stuff. Don't judge us by not remembering names.
Actually, I haven't seen the movie. I actually did recommend that movie, but I think we didn't watch it because you had already seen it. Yeah.
Which I like, but this movie makes that movie look really better. Good. Like, really, really good.
So I was surprised that the opening shot was corn, a field of corn. I did not see that coming.
Well, I mean, don't worry, Rolando. Actually really dies in the corn.
It's true. And then, I think what I texted you was that, LOL, the first 5 minutes of Treasure of the Corn is funny or something like that.
Yeah. So
it is
kind of lame.
I didn't understand it. It's bad. It's bad. Yeah. I guess that's why I didn't understand it. Because it's a bad, very bad movie. Surprising.
I feel like I would have forgiven it more if they had shown with this kid. So like this kid comes from the cornfield. It's like our main antagonist's older brother before she becomes evil, I guess. Is all fucked up and stayed out in the cornfield all night again, according to her. And he like does all this weird stuff, like grab a knife and grab whatever else, and it makes it seem like he's gonna kill his sister. But he goes into an orphanage, right? I think an orphanage.
And sure.
Proceeds to slaughter as many adults as he can. And like I had said, the GMOs and all the corn and stuff, I guess, are making all the adults like super, 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 super weak. So they couldn't stop this like young teenage boy with a knife, like a very small knife. And they decided the best thing to do is to shut all the windows and doors and pump through one of the windows all the pesticide shit that's going into the corn. I forgot what they called it.
Yeah.
Into the orphanage. Which inadvertently made them kill all the children that were in there too. And I was like,
we need to spend the next forever long this podcast is dissecting this opening scene. Cause I did not, there's so much going on in this.
I mean, in my head, I'm also like, so homeboy probably had just seen Midsommar. Cause I think that movie came out like 2018, something like that.
Okay.
Right. 2018, 2019. So before this, unfortunately, even though this movie looks like it was shot a long fucking time, which 3 years is kind of a long time ago, but yeah, I don't know. And then, poor, what's his name? fucking road warrior.
Bruce
Spence, yeah. Who has an American accent.
So, why? What is the... Oh, man. I don't even know how to talk about this. Like, so there's like this... okay, so there's like this little girl. She has a brother who goes into the thing. And because you spend too much time in the corn, which they're like putting all that chemical shit in and insinuating like somehow the corn made him kill all the adults in there. So the cops of this town decide to, like you said, like close off the whole school and then pump the chemicals to kill everybody in there, basically kill everybody in there. And then... Yeah.
Pretty poor writing. Well, I understood they didn't realize that the kids were still in there, that they were just trying to knock out this one teen or whatever.
Wow. Yeah.
I think that's what I understood, which made very little sense to me.
It is wild that that's where, that's just like, from a writing standpoint, there's just so much information. Like, it just doesn't, there's no believability or like, there's a lot of unbelievability in this movie, to be honest. But
a lot. I mean, if I understand the point of it was to just showcase how bad these chemicals are,
right?
You know, but it was just poorly done. And then, like I was saying, Bruce Spence does this weird thing where that happens and he shows up and goes up to the young girl who ends up being our main antagonist. It's just not a spoiler, it's just like the whole movie
pretty obvious is, right? Pretty obvious it's gonna be her. Yeah,
and is like, you can come live with me now, but also suggests he's gonna be weird with her.
Very weird with her. Yeah. It's Bruce Spence, he's a very weird looking guy. Very good actor, like, but
another weird choice in the script, in my opinion, because they also don't flat out tell you what happened. You just got to keep insinuating by the choice of words people make, right? Because even towards the end, it's not even flat out spelled. It was just like, oh, but you sent two.
I think, was this like a clumsy attempt at a like prequelizing or like explaining why they're like, why the corn is the way it is, and then why the kids are reacting to it? Because I felt like they have a supernatural reason, and then they have like, they tried painstakingly try to explain scientifically that, oh, it's in the chemicals. Yeah. This is what's making the kids weird. There's like a, they're trying to have it both ways, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think it's just more of somebody's trying to do their own spin on it. And everybody's spin on these reboots nowadays are like very, but this one's grounded, which is like, oh, it makes it worse in my opinion, but okay.
Yeah. Once, I think now that we've like prequels have become a thing in the last like, what, 20 plus years? Trying to go back and explain why these things are the way they are is like not a good, you shouldn't spend a whole movie doing it, right? Like,
yeah,
it's,
exactly, Rob Zombie. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, look at you, Rob Zombie. But you know, that's what I mean, like famously, like the Star Wars, like, did we really need to know what the fuck the Clone Wars were? No, it wasn't important.
But that made more sense because they just wanted to push out content so people would just watch or buy it.
I was confused by this whole opening scene and it didn't make any sense. I was like, oh my God, they're just like so clumsily telling this story, you know? Like,
oh man. And that's because we're only talking about the opening. I feel like the rest of the movie follows suit. It's just like,
yes. 100%.
I remember texting you at one point, like, hey, did this character get randomly introduced?
Yeah,
for no reason.
So there's a whole like, so that happens, which just kind of explains the origins of our main antagonist. She has also a fun name, Eden. So she's the Red Queen. Shout out to you, John, Red Queen. So, and but then we actually meet our actual protagonist, this family, the Williams family.
I was in a feature film per my college from a guy who thought very highly of himself because he worked in Hollywood, which now that I've worked in Hollywood for, you know,
like longer than him,
12 years at this point, I can safely say he had no reason to have so much clout, but I think that was the only reason they hired him at our college. And, he wrote and directed this movie and
you're in it.
Was not good at either of those things, but yeah, I was in it.
You were definitely in it. And if you have time on Tubi, look up The Red Queen.
What?
It's on Tubi.
Oh, no.
Everything's on Tubi.
But to be fair, nobody's going to get on Tubi, so it's fine.
yeah. To be fair, yeah. All right. So then we meet our protagonist. What's her name? What is this here?
Boylan?
Bo. Oh, they did call her Bo, but I guess her full name was Boleen. Okay.
Sure.
That's a name.
Oh, man. I don't even know. Like, do we want to go into like what happened? Because I didn't follow most of this movie.
Yeah.
Because she's got like two friends that show up, these two other girls.
Closer in age.
Don't really do much.
I was just trying to understand because like, I guess why I'm in it, like talking about it, introducing her was because I don't understand their relationship of our protagonist to the antagonist. Because they're constantly like talking with each other and like are friendly, right? But I didn't understand, like it seems like this town, all the kids know each other and all the adults in a very, are kind of like useless, like kind of like not great adults.
The younger brother, I think it's like a town that's like a middle nowhere town that's dying, right? And all it had going for it was a corn. So it's super small, so everybody knows each other. And the younger brother kind of mentioned something like that because this girl who's only 17 is going to leave again to go somewhere else, which I was like, what is this?
Making her feel bad, the guiltier. Yeah. It's like, you're leaving us. Go. Get out of here.
But with all that said, I think where your confusion comes from, which is my confusion as well, is everybody in the fucking town shares the same exact cornfield to like grow their crops. Because they all meet in the middle and they all seem to see each other in the middle again. And one dude is like growing pot, which you never, ever, ever see.
Yeah.
Which is like, that's not how that works, but okay. So that's where I was confused too. So I was like, everybody in this town, I guess they're all big gamblers and they put all their money into this 100-foot by 100-foot corn maze.
Right.
And they're like, hey, there's this other company that wants to give us money to pump their pesticides. And it's like, what? Why? I don't understand. And they're in Nebraska.
The movie had a hard time, like, just like first act, a lot of first act problems, you know, like introducing too many characters. The story was confusing. There's too much like reliant on like knowing more about people, knowing everybody's relationship without properly like explaining or introducing everybody. It was kind of rough. I was like, what, when do they start killing people? Like what's going on here?
Oh my God. And it's escaping my mind right now. What do you call it? Like, it's very, every single thing is very divisive. It's like some kid is upset with this psych that he, like mini hand psych he's got in his hand. So he chucks it into the corn. So I'm like, okay, that's kind of coming to play later. They also like all these kids are all fucking around on top of this car. That's like out in the middle of the field. You find out this kid who's like growing weed on the side, just leaves his car out there. I don't know why, but anyway, it's like this cool like muscle car and these kids are just like demolishing it because they're shitty kids, I guess, is the point of the thing. Like the corn makes them shitty people. They're just destructive and like they're smashing the thing and somehow, I don't understand this part, but somehow they're able to break the gas line underneath the fucking vehicle, which these are all, like I said, it's a muscle car, so it's all metal, but okay. Which, again, I was like, that's going to come into play later too, isn't it? Like, why? But I'm not exactly sure what the timeline is. Kind of a spoiler, but
yeah.
Like, their gas line is still leaking 2 days later.
We'll get to that. Because I like, do you think at this point, because what the film is trying to say, like it was the pesticide or whatever they were putting in the core that was turning these kids, as one explanation. Do you think at this point the kids in that very first sequence you're describing, do you think they were already poisoned, or do you think like we haven't seen it yet?
Are you talking about the
I'm talking about the stuff where they're trying to make that kid jump off a corn.
Like the top of a cello or whatever, the corn. Which I wanted to see that. That's where I think the movie kind of suffers too, because I think they're already infected. They're already like a part of like the corn
Okay
thing. that's happening. So there's a lot of moments like that where, this scene where they're all playing, they're having, you know, play time out in the middle of the corn. And they're like, this kid killed his dog.
Yeah.
For no good reason. And they're like, you know, we like that dog, so you have to, you know, jump off this thing. And I couldn't even tell you what the kid is in the rest of the movie. I didn't care enough to like pay attention. But they're trying to force this kid to jump off this thing, which is super high, and he would definitely die if he fell into this bundle of like sticks. And then they're going to set the sticks on fire. And this is the third time it's already been mentioned in this fucking movie, and it's only been 15 minutes, where the girl, Bo, is like, oh, no, because everything's going to get set on fire. If you do this, it'll explode, blah, blah, blah. They're going to set the sticks on fire, and she's like, no, you can't do that because, I mean, think about it, the pesticides, blah, blah, blah. Like, it'll cause a new chain reaction. Everything be caught on fire. And I'm like, I'm sure these kids have done this before, but whatever. Eden is like, okay, because, like, they made Eden play... that's not the choice of acting.
Yeah,
make this kid act. Yeah. It's like more annoying than anything else. So I think they're all infected, and I wanted to see like, is this kid gonna jump off, fall into like these sticks, obviously get killed, and then come back to life?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It goes
like
on.
Like I said, the scene goes on for like literally 6 minutes, dude. Like,
it's. Like, I think this movie finally starts following a plot that was like you were able to follow it more coherently was when they actually do that town hall scene, which really didn't make a whole bunch of sense. But it kind of made sense in the terms of like, oh, the town voted, we're going to burn all the corn, and then the kids don't want to burn the corn. And then that's kind of like the catalyst for the kids to... you know, take over the town, which is like part of the book, short story. Did you ever read the short story?
I was confused by that. I did a while back. I don't really remember it. It's the same thing with like, I think I read it the same time I read the Hellraiser one too. Mm-hmm. Pleasure of the Flesh or whatever. So it's, I don't remember. But the whole... town meeting where they decide to, is that what they're deciding to burn the corn? I thought they were just gonna like sell the field.
Well, they had been pumping shit into it, but I think that it was poisoning, it was already like causing more problems because I think the dad of our protagonist, of Bo, is saying that we need to burn all the corn, we need to start all over. It's gonna suck, but we gotta do it anyways because the corn is bad. It's pumped. We decided to trust all these guys that were pumping all these chemicals on top of it, and now they've kind of screwed us over because our corn sucks. I think that's kind of the gist of it.
Which is pretty wild. Like, this guy wasn't able to stop these kids when he almost single-handedly was able to beat Batman. In Batman.
Actor who you may not know by name, but he has a very, like, hard, distinguished look because he has, like, scars on his face, you know? He's always a bad guy, and he was, like, the dad. So it was a little odd.
And here's where I'm going to mention this. What did the mom say about all this?
So I don't remember specifically what the mom said, but the mom, they insinuate basically that the mom is just fucking around and cheating with somebody we don't see off screen.
That's the fucking character. That's right. I remember there's a scene where Bo's walking with her younger brother, and the younger brother, they both see their mom flirt with some guy very out in the open. It's just like, dude, there's like,
small town, man. What are we doing here?
And then jumps in this car and then they drive off and she's trying to say like, that's between mom and dad or whatever. I forgot that the mom was there. I couldn't remember. Because the mom has no lines.
No. She doesn't have any lines, but they do. What is it? Like, the brother, I'm so glad I forgot there was a brother. Because he explained to us, maze is a maze. Means the same thing. The cord is maze is a maze.
I was like, yeah, thanks, bud.
Yeah, thanks. And yeah, so that happened. And then they spooky stuff starts happening. The cord starts making the kids take over the town. I mean, I don't know what else to dig in there.
No, because it's kind of dumb. Like, I mean, there's that town hall meeting, right? They all have a vote, and then Eden speaks up like, but what about us? Why don't we get a vote? And I would have been like, because you're a fucking child. Shut the fuck up.
Why like, are you who here? Are you?
who brought their kids to this? I told you not to.
Don't you?
And then somebody has to speak up. I think one of the 17-year-old kids, because there's like three different groups. There's the adults that are all like 50-plus, I guess, and then... Then there's the teens that are all 17 for some reason, except for one guy that's 18, the kid that sells weed or makes weed.
Yeah.
And then everybody else is between the ages of like 5 and 13.
Right. Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's a small town, so like these people have nothing to do. So they're just like fucking. And they're all these kids all of a sudden, all at the same time, basically. Which makes a little sense to me, too. Yeah. That's, I don't know. They have an argument. They all decide that they're going to fucking burn the crop anyway.
Yeah.
And then that's when Eden enacts her plan, which you never learn. It's just things happen. People are getting killed off screen.
Pretty much. Yeah.
All of it is off screen until you get to certain areas where like, that was kind of cool. I guess it's very Sci-Fi Channel-esque level of CGI work. Like,
it's yeah. Do you want to get into spoilers? Let's get into some spoilers.
Yeah, let's get into spoilers.
Wait! No, 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 stop, stop, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers.
So, you mean Groot?
Yeah. I was going to say, the corn makes some sort of, like, man thing. Because it's very like a Swamp Thing, Man Thing type of like, it doesn't even really look like corn leaves, to be honest.
It is a CGI Groot / Inked from Lord of the Rings vibe. It's a very walking.
But mostly the green part of the corn stalk. Just, there's no corn in the actual monster.
So... Like, yeah, like in Lord of the Rings, when the Ents attack the second tower, one of them catches fire and then quickly tries to put out its head into the the water. It looked like that. Yeah. So basically, it kind of looked like that to me. I don't know if I described it. There was a really funny scene towards the end where Bo is being like, the monster's like stalking and trying to kill.
Yeah, stalking.
Trying to kill Bo in the cornfield, and she's like trying to reach for something to kill it, and there's like all these husks of corn. I was like, oh my god, is she gonna stab the corn creature with corn? That would have been,
that's what I thought too.
10 out of 10, dude. I would have been so happy.
Man, it would have been even better if like she like presents the corn to defend herself, and this monster finally talks, and it's like, get that corn out of my face.
But of course she finds the thing the guy dropped earlier, knife, and stabs it in the face and gets scapes. And boring stuff. But that was,
yeah. Oh, man. There are moments where like she tries to call like a news reporter to come over to like cover the whole thing, so they don't have to burn the corn, and yet, and it's just like, you don't, why do you care? You're gonna leave.
Yeah, I didn't understand.
But yeah, this reporter was supposed to be like that. So Bo is kind of a fucking idiot. Let's just say it out loud. Like, there's no, just a very stupid character.
It's a stupid character. Yeah. There's one scene in particular that was really like, wow, I can't believe the scene was allowed, because she's the little Eden is like dug a giant ass hole. She killed a pig. She's, all these other kids are like painting blood on the corn, at the like ends of the corns or wherever they dug up, and Bo just kind of walks up and just like, what are you guys doing? Or something. Yeah. And she's like, oh, we're just painting stuff. Or I don't forgot the actual explanation. She's like, okay.
Yeah.
Thought that was like a tip off. Happened. Yeah, there was like no tip off. Like this fucking kid's crazy. You know,
that's when she requests like, oh, hey, what you guys can do, and I'm gonna need your help. Like she thinks she's like being a good. She would be a terrible parent, by the way, or teacher.
Right? Because
she's like, I'm gonna need your help.
Oh,
there's reporters coming into town. I need you to greet her. That way she knows we're like a wholesome town.
At 10 p.m. At 10 p.m. at night.
So as soon as you're done with your little activities, you know, pulling blood out of this pig's guts to...
Prized pig.
Thing.
Yeah. I was like, really? Like, why is this... That's what I mean. Like, I didn't understand, like... I didn't understand why they were friendly with each other. Like, what is the relationship? Are they friends? Are they just friendly? Or, like, why are they...
I think the only thing was because Bo was 17.
Right.
So she was not an adult.
See, this is where...
The weed kid, they finally... Okay. What? Let's just skip to, like, they all get caught for reasons. Like, they have a bonk on the head at some point. They're all like, oh, they're going to kill all the adults. Like, we can't do this. We can't have it. Because they kill one adult in front of her, Bo. And the weed kid is like, you're right, we got to do something. So his plan is to like start screaming immediately and run in the middle of everybody.
Yeah.
So he fucking hatchet him in the head. And I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, what an idiot.
It's like, you son of a... And then gets slapped in the face.
So stupid.
Yeah. And then, oh man, what's... So this is why this story doesn't work, right? Because... Yeah. From what I understand, well, from the movie, I'm basing this purely off the movie because, again, like I haven't read the short either, but it's about a Linda Hamilton and her husband, newlyweds, get stranded in the small town, but it's a little fucking weird because all these kids are in charge of it and there's no adults anywhere. And it just kind of seems like, you know, they're all like praising or crazy about the fucking cultish about the corn and find out that there's like some evil... crazy supernatural shit going on in the middle of America in Nebraska. That very plausible. Yeah. This stuff's going on.
And very upfront about like, hey, if you're 18 or over, we have to kill you. Like, right. There's no, it's very like Logan's Run style of like, okay, there's a cult of kids. That makes sense. It's Midwest.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, that's why this having our protagonist be friends or around the same age, you know, be friendly with the kids. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah. I think they spent too much time and money on shit like that instead of like just allocating it to like, you never see any of the adults die. I mean, except for one, kinda. He gets his neck broken. That's about it. And then, oh, well, no, the priest
gets his eye cut out.
His eyes, yeah.
Which is, I liked how, like, it kind of didn't make any sense because it's like she at first Eden, who's like the leader of this people, isn't particularly religious about things until the end. She's like, oh, no, we're now all of you are sinners and, you know, y'all have to die and we have to bless the corn and kneel for the corn and stuff like that, which
he needs to feed.
Yeah, it's almost like completely that whole act is like ripped off and from the original Corn movie and put into this movie. It didn't like make any sense. Like it was.
Also, I'm guessing that the corn thing fed off of. So there's a part where they get knocked out again for like the 800th time. Bo and her two other friends, which I don't even remember their names.
They're not important.
Two other girls. Yeah.
Yeah.
They get knocked out and then they wake up to like, Eden has thrown half of the adults into this pit that they made. And then that's when I think I text you randomly because I was like, did they just introduce this chick's mom randomly in the pit? And I forgot that she also was jumping in a van or a truck with some other dude to go bang.
Yeah.
So the mom dies because they get buried in dirt. And I just assumed that the corn thing was going to eat them, which is cool.
Right.
But no, I guess not, because there's another scene where they get knocked out and they come to again. And this time Bo is looking around and her friends that she told to run away are now dead.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging in a barn where this thing feeds allegedly. But I'm like, I still see 98% of this body here. I don't understand.
They just...
It was all contrived so you could see that they're dead.
Right. Yeah.
which wouldn't have mattered either way. They could have just disappeared. It wouldn't matter. Nobody cared to begin with.
Yeah.
And then she tries to run away in the corn to run away from this thing and then runs into her dad, who is now a dead scarecrow. I'm like, another?
Okay. Sure. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
At that point, I was getting exhausted from this. I'm like, why won't this movie end? And I still had like 25 minutes left or something. I was like,
so many bad choices made.
Oh, but don't worry. The gas line that got broken from that muscle car in the middle of the field was still leaking gas, so she was able to like make plans.
Still start it and drive.
And then she decided to stop in front of the sign that welcomed to the corn or whatever.
Yeah,
welcome. Instead of just plowing through it like a normal fucking rational human being and running away as far as possible.
Right.
They decide to give her a moment where she's looking at the sign and she says, fuck this, and tries to drive away, and the car stalls.
Yeah.
And also, don't worry, because Eden was hiding in the back seat that entire time.
She had the premonition to know to be there in the back seat with the cattle gun or whatever.
And wait for the perfect time to pop up. Even though there was like, I don't know how many, like 10, 15 minutes passed.
Do you think they're ever going to get this story right, John? This card movie? Or
also, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that's not how cigarette lighters and cars and gasoline work.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. There's no open flame to combust. So.
Only in movies. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, man, that was bad. That was real bad. And then as soon as that's done, you're like, well, at least it didn't get worse. Don't worry. There's a tag, not even like in the after credits, the mid credits.
No.
There's a tag. As soon as the movie ends, there's another tag where Bo goes back into the field because she had set the field on fire and Eden decided to just walk back into the field and get burned alive.
Yeah, as you do.
Because the Groot man thing was caught on fire.
He's running.
Spent all this money to CGI this thing ready. Yeah, it was very goofy. I'm like, you could have spent this money on kills, right? Because that's the point of this fucking movie.
Yeah.
No, let's give it all to like this Groot style thing running around because it's on fire, screaming. So Eden goes back in there and decides to get burned up and
dies with the corn man. Yep.
Immediate like jump cut to Bo is walking out of the field in the day, sees Eden's flower ring, picks it up, and is like weeping about it for reasons instead of again like,
what's the relationship,
getting the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, and then she looks at it again and it's gone, it's disappeared in her hand. And then she looks up and then Eden is there completely burnt to just muscle, which also is not how fire works, and is saying like, don't worry, Bo, nothing actually dies in the corn.
It's like your face.
And then like vines or some shit come out of her mouth or whatever. And that is the end of the movie.
Thank God. I applauded when that was the end of this movie.
No more.
I could not be any happier when this movie ended. Oh, yeah, what a journey.
Would have been. it somehow would have made sense if they were like, oh, an alien fell into this maze and made this thing. I would have been like, okay. I can get into that, I guess. It's something else.
They're trying.
What this movie's been presenting.
Yeah. I think that I see why people are attracted to this story because they've made it like 11 times. But they still haven't done a good version of this adaptation yet. So
it's because people try to live up to like how good the first one is, which I got to admit, like I like it because it's a classic, but it's not like the best movie ever.
It's like a perfectly fine like B movie horror. That's all it is. And I think that's
all it ever was. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all it ever was.
People put it on a pedestal.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Like the next Fright Night or something. I'm like, no.
Yeah. That's, I mean, I guess because it has a fun title. It has like an interesting premise, but again, like.
It's like obviously super low budget.
Exactly. Yeah. Alrighty. I'm not sure what else to say about this movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somehow we've gone over an hour on this one. Which
yeah. Okay, let's rate this. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Girl, I know what you need. Show us your sexy.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
2020's Children of the Corn. Ugh. That was going to be nice, but I don't think I can. It gets one ear of corn.
One ear of corn. Is that quite a lot or... I don't know anything about
it. One ear chock full of pesticide chemicals. Corn.
I'm going to be a little more generous. I think they're trying. I think all the kids are trying. And I'll give it a 2. I'll give it a 2 sexy spooky bones out of 10. They're trying. Everybody's trying. Everybody's here to make a movie. I feel like
it's good. It gets a singular sexy spooky bone.
I think the main actress was like, she's really trying to act. Like every scene they're giving her, she's like, I'm trying to do the best I can with what I can. So I'll give her one more for that.
I'm giving it one for Bruce Spence's death scene, because that was like probably the only highlight of the movie.
I kind of wish that scene would have went on longer too. Yeah, like that should have been like the kill to like should have been the centerpiece kill of that whole movie. That would have been nice, but was not. All right, guys, non-binary pals, thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky.